The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. So much stuff going on. Uvalde Independent School District, Consolidated Independent School District Chief spoke out about his involvement. I'll be reading more in the break about what he said, but very interesting. A lot of people are going to have to eat crow. Many of them are going to have to apologize, which they will not, because they prejudged the situation and they said that the man was a coward. According to his statements, and there hasn't been a contradiction from anybody that's doing an investigation, according to his statements, he was at the door. He's one of the officers on the front line. He's one of the officers that attempted to go in the room, and they could not breach the door. And I don't know how many times I have to tell people this, and I'm hoping that people listen, that you can't just open a classroom door either without a key or breaching tools. I don't care what kind of Jesus you pray to. If the door is secured, prayers are not going to be enough for you. The doors in many schools around the country, especially the ones in Uvalde, are fireproof and they're built so no one can get into the door. The way this situation is supposed to work is that the shooting or the shooter comes to the campus, they lock the doors, he cannot get in the classroom. There is no way possible, for the most part, that a shooter will be able to get into a classroom that is locked. That's why he went through an unlocked door and went into an unlocked classroom. And went through the bathroom that was unlocked to an adjacent classroom and began to shoot. But the police chief came out and made a statement, and it makes sense to a certain degree why some of the things happened that happened. When you ask me, a former police officer, that, you know, is people just standing outside of the room just letting kids get slaughtered, that never sound right to me, and it shouldn't have sound right to you if you know anything about law enforcement, anything about law enforcement response. Just like my friend Mike the cop said the other day, you can't find 17 civilian cowards in one place. Somebody can be getting attacked across the street from my house, and a lot of these people that live near me are probably in their 60s and 70s. There would not be 15 people standing in the street doing absolutely nothing. If somebody was dying, kids are getting killed in a classroom or a school. I guarantee you couldn't put 17 cowards together who have never done anything tactical in their lives, let alone put together 17 people who have been in life and death situations probably on a day-to-day basis wearing a uniform. It's not the first rodeo. And then what made me mad, too, is Bill Maher, came out and made some statements about policing in America. And that once in a while, they have to put their life on the line and all this old crazy stuff. He should be ashamed of himself. What a coward. He would never put on a badge and a uniform and do anything tactical. Saving somebody else's life is probably not in his repertoire. However, in the break, I'm going to finish reading. I hadn't had a chance to read his full statement, but a lot of what I've been saying, what I've been trying to convey to people, is being revealed. The Uvalde Independent School District Police Chief did not get the call. He did not get the information that there was kids calling in. So how is he supposed to know that kids are calling in and whispering to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher, that information was never relayed to him? And then there was a statement that he made and said he didn't know he was supposed to be the one in charge. Now, that's another dilemma that we have to talk about. Because when you are on the scene, there's an incident commander that's assumed. Right. The leader of the scene. Obviously, if you're the chief, you will be assumed as the incident commander. Now, if you happen to be the chief and you're involved in the shooting, someone else has to take incident command, because you cannot have incident command of the scene make calls if you are actively involved in a situation. And I'm not blaming anybody on this, because when you have agencies federal and state and municipalities coming together and county coming together to come to a scene where nobody's radios are connected. Highway Patrol radio is not connected to Uvalde dispatchers. Border Patrol is a federal agency. They're not connected to Highway Patrol or Uvalde. You can go down a list of every agency that responded. Their radios are not on the same frequency. So if you know, the chief was saying something on the radio, the officers arriving have no idea what's going on. From the sources that I have of people there at the scene, they said it was chaotic, that nobody could communicate with each other via the radio. And when they all got on the same channel, so many people are trying to talk. They're talking over each other. It was a cluster. And that's not abnormal, because this was a perfect storm created. This probably will never happen in the history of our country ever again. The chances of a town of 16,000 people having a person from within the town be able to acquire that many guns and ammo without ever being found out and going to a school that just so happened that the back door is not locked, which almost every school in the district, I know it's a requirement that they have to have those doors locked. They have to be able to close on their own and secure. You're not supposed to prop the door open with rocks and other things. They're supposed to be secured. Now, I'm not blaming the teacher, because, you know, it happens all the time. You're going to prop the door open. That's just the way it is. People are not going to have to use that key every single time. And I'm not blaming a person, because they've probably been going for 35 years propping that door open and nothing has ever happened. But in a perfect storm, an evil storm perfected by evilness, the back door just so happened to not be latched. The killer gets into the school. Just so happened the room, and this is something somebody told me, I don't know if it's verified, the room that he went into was his homeroom class when he went to Rob Elementary. He goes into the first room. That door isn't locked. Now, from what I heard, he shot into the first room, left the room, tried to get into another room across the hall, and that door was locked. He shot around at the door, could not get through the door. So he went back into room 112 and then went through the bathroom into the room 111 and began to shoot the kids there. At that point, the police officer showed up 2 minutes later, and a shooting ensued between the police officers and the suspect. He barricaded himself. They were not able to breach the door. Now, let me just say this quick fact, and then we're going to talk about the January 6th hearing, maybe in the second segment coming up, and I have a really, really special guest that's coming on, Chief Villanueva, the L.A. County Sheriff. I say Chief. He's a sheriff. The L.A. County Sheriff, Chief, as he keeps saying Chief. I want to say Chief. I'm used to a Chief. I'm not used to a Sheriff. But the L.A. County Sheriff Villanueva is going to come and talk to me at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about everything that you can think of. I really enjoy talking to other people who have worn the badge, and Villanueva has worn the badge probably longer as I've been alive. So it's going to be a great conversation at the top of the hour. I want to play a quick clip from the Uvalde Independent School District police chief so you can get a glimpse of the things that he said, or at least a news clip of what he said, so you can put some of the things I said within context. Roll the clip.
For the last 2 weeks, the police response to the Uvalde school shooting has been called into question, and it's the school's police chief who's been facing some of the harshest criticism. Suzanne Bruner is with us this morning, and Suzanne, he is standing by his actions.
Yeah, this is the first time that we are hearing from Uvalde school's police chief, Pete Arredondo. Now, in a phone interview with his attorney standing by, he spoke with our partner, the Texas Tribune, to talk about what he did inside Robb Elementary during that attack. Despite being blamed by state officials who say he failed to take control of the police response and made the wrong decision, Arredondo insists he took steps he thought would best protect lives at his hometown school. Now, Arredondo told the Tribune he made a conscious decision to leave his police radios where he first arrived at the school so he could run into this school without dropping them, so he could have both of his hands free in case he needed to use his pistol, as he thought would be a very likely outcome. Now, Arredondo also revealed he never considered himself the incident commander of the shooting response. Here's a portion of that interview with Zach Despard of the Texas Tribune during our 10 p.m. broadcast last night.
The chief said that at no point he gave anyone any orders, didn't provide any supervisory role. He certainly didn't say to any officers to stand down or stand by or not do everything they possibly could, in his estimation, to stop the shooter.
Now, DeSparte says they spoke with 7 law enforcement experts about Arredondo's description of the police response. All but one said that serious lapses in judgment occurred. Now, they also said that by running into the school with
I have a few minutes left, or maybe 1 minute left in this segment, and I don't want to end up getting cut off. But we'll continue the conversation. It's easy, and I think many officers in hindsight will say there may have been mistakes made. That's not the point. Did Arredondo make mistakes knowingly and intentionally at the scene? You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. Catch me after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow that I have ever slept on in my life. I have one right now. Me and my wife sleep on it every night. Now Mike has done it again with my slippers, which I'm wearing right now. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of my slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slipper. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Mike Lindell has made the My Slippers with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made also with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on a radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at mypillow.com.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in at 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm going to continue the conversation about the Uvalde police chief coming out. And why am I so hung up on this? It's because this was one of the biggest, most craziest rush to judgments that I have ever seen by conservatives. I'm not talking about liberals. They have an agenda. They would love to see nothing more than police be demonized, AR-15s be demonized as inanimate objects. They'll love nothing more than to trash anybody they can in the media. But when I saw conservatives come out and say, these officers are cowards, they need to turn in their badges, this is unacceptable, they got children killed, and they haven't seen a single video of officers just standing there. They don't have a video of officers just standing there in the hallway doing nothing. They have no video evidence of any of that. Many people were looking at a video of the perimeter team. The perimeter team don't get active, ladies and gentlemen. The perimeter team is at the perimeter because there's officers at the scene taking action. Every officer that shows up can't just run into the building. There have been 65 officers just standing in the building doing what? What would they be doing? 65 officers in one hallway, what would they be doing? 40 officers in one hallway, what would you be doing standing in the hallway? Now, riddle me this. What if a copycat shooter comes on the scene and everybody's standing at the school in the hallway and start shooting parents while they're standing outside? Or better yet, what if the officers never set a perimeter and they let parents run into the school? And the officers don't know if these are parents? Is this a copycat shooter? Is this an accomplice? How do they know whose parent is who? What happens when a parent that really don't have custody of the kids comes to the school to retrieve his kid because he heard of the shooting, but he's not the parental custodial parent? He comes to the school. The police supposed to know that they can release these kids to these certain parents? No. You have to set a containment. You have to keep the parents calm, keep them in a position that they're safe. You secure the children. You get them out of school as soon as possible. You eliminate the threat. That's the way it goes. Parents may not like it. I understand. I wouldn't like it either. But as a police officer, you have to do certain things to protect the public. They may not understand what's going on. The parents don't know where the shooter is at. They don't know where the shooter is at. They don't know what kind of gun the shooter has. They don't know what kind of capability this guy had. They don't know if it's multiple shooters. The parents don't know what's going on. You keep them at a safe distance so that they don't become additional casualties. And then you do the best you can to save as many lives as you can. One thing that people don't know, people that are probably listening to this that are shaking their head and disagreeing with me, that they saved over 500 kids out of that school that day. Do you know that? Did you know that there were children that were saved from within the room that the suspect shot and killed kids in? Their lives were saved. Now, this is going to come out to the public and it's going to be haunting to a lot of people. But children being shot for 2 minutes straight with an AR-15 is not a pretty sight. And a lot of people are saying, oh, the kids were just getting shot up, you know, for 45, 70 minutes and the cops didn't do nothing. No, I think it's going to come out that majority of the children who were shot in the first 2 minutes before cops ever arrived. And there was no way of recovering from getting shot with a 5.56 round. No, it's zero chance. Now, I'm not trying to be graphic, and I'm a stay away from being too graphic about what happened. But talking to people at the scene or listening to the way people describe, you know, according to the article that I was reading about the Uvalde police chief from the Texas Tribune, it said a pedestrian who attended to the victims described small bodies pulverized and decapitated. Some children were only identified only by their clothes and shoes. Now, in that first 2 minutes, and this is the reality that people need to understand, that kid pulverized, and children getting shot with AR-15s will decapitate them in the first 2 minutes before cops ever arrived. And I really wish that we would be slow to rush to judgment, to demonize people, and to treat them, these police officers whom you never met, whom you don't know or understand anything about the scenario, that you would call them cowards. Imagine being a cop. One of the cops' kid was murdered in that school. Probably one of the kids that were pulverized. One of the officer's wife died in that shooting. Imagine that man wanting to do everything he can to save the lives of those kids that he knows, in addition to his own child. And then once he tried the best he could, couldn't save them, have to go into the school and see those young people lying dead just to go home to hear the public calling him and others cowards, and that they did nothing and they're disgraceful and they should turn in their badges and you hope they get sued. Conservatives saying this stuff. I don't understand how we do our police officers like this. Even if you wanted to call him a coward, wait till the information comes out and you have as much evidence as you can to then make a proper judgment. Because it started with, they didn't do nothing. They didn't do nothing. Sean, give me 30 seconds at the end or a minute at the end. That they didn't do nothing and they sat there and watched them die to, oh, they should have done more, or to, oh, they waited outside the classroom for 6 minutes. Oh, to, it just kept going and going and going of people making excuses. When the full investigation comes out, I am going to call people by name and tell them that they should apologize to those police officers, because by spewing false information, a lot of them got death threats. And you don't know who was standing outside the classroom and who wasn't. You don't know who was on the BORTAC team who showed up and executed the guy immediately or who wasn't. You don't know the people who drove from Del Rio 70 miles away and got there in 40 minutes. All you can do is do the math and see how fast they were driving. U.S. Marshals who were risking their lives driving hundreds of miles per hour to get there. You call them cowards? When they showed up, they took care of business. You call them cowards? All right. There's going to be some apologies. And many of you guys are not going to apologize, because just like a liberal, you've dug your heels into a narrative, and now you came back out of it. You came back out of the narrative now. You dug your heels in. But let me transition real quick, and I'll get back to finishing my thought. But as we all know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep that they can. Mike Lindell didn't just do the MyPillow. He's now coming out with my slippers. I have them on right now. I got the black ones, and they feel good to my feet. And for a limited time only, you can save $90 off a pair of My Slippers. A blowout sale of the year won't last long. Mike's took 2 years to develop the My Slipper. The My Slipper is designed for you to wear indoors and outdoors. My Pillow foam and impact gel in the slippers to help with the fatigue in your feet. Made with quality leather suede. All you have to do is call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code Brandon. Again, this will not last long. You need to act now. Promo code Brandon, MyPillow.com.
Officer Tatum shows.
Put your hands where I can see them. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The woke crowd has seized control of our schools, and now a minority of loud and woke voices are trying to take over our corporations, from Disney to American Express. More corporations are talking or taking positions on political issues that they have no doggone reason to be taking. Most of those political issues align with the woke left and nobody else. From discriminatory on the hiring front, discriminatory practices on the hiring front, to completely out of control, deranged woke ideas like ESG, woke ideologies are also getting into the boardrooms and HR departments, all over the country. That's why I'm excited to let you guys know about our friends over at Job Creators Network. They're embarking on a major advertising and litigation effort to fight the woke activists, and they need your help to fund it. Go to rockthewoke.com now to do your part. Disney and others have heard from the woke left. Now it's time to hear your voice. Go to rockthewoke.com now. Don't let the woke crowd do to our businesses what they've done to our schools. Go to rockthewoke.com and help them fund the fight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back like flats on a Cadillac. Hunter Biden in the back smoking crack. I'm hoping y'all can still hear me.
Oh, you ain't catching no crackheads.
Y'all ain't catching no crackheads. Call me back on the video. Let me finish the conversation about January 6th. Because, I am convinced that people are losing their minds and out of control when it comes to January 6th. I have seen plenty of individuals who have came out and called January 6th an insurrection. It's very clear to me there's no such insurrection that has occurred on January 6th. Why? And let me just say this. I went down to the Capitol building multiple occasions. I've been to the White House multiple times. And while at the White House, on basic events of some of us going and talking to Donald Trump and all of that sort, they completely use guardrails, dump trucks, block off all access points to all major Capitol buildings. Portions of the Capitol building, the White House, everything is completely blocked off. Now you're telling me the intelligence community, the FBI. And you know they infiltrate it. They infiltrate everything that goes on in the United States of America. That somehow Donald Trump was pre-planning a takeover of the Capitol building. Our government didn't know nothing about it. And they didn't even prepare in case for it to happen. They didn't block nothing. They just let people walk right into the Capitol building. At the time, the rhetoric that Trump was pushing, the rhetoric that conservatives were pushing, was occurring way before January 6th. I was saying it was a fraudulent election. Everybody knew it was a fraudulent election. Donald Trump said the same thing then that he said on January 6th. How all of a sudden the threat level is out of control and shocking for the public and for our politicians when nothing had changed. Liz Cheney, who's a complete dirtbag, in my opinion, is out here. It's not working. The video is not working. Is out here making accusations. I don't know who didn't pay her off, or she's always been a Republican rhino coward. But she's out here acting as if Donald Trump is the enemy of the people, and he orchestrated a pre-planned insurrection on the United States Capitol. I can't get over this, because think about this for a second. If he wanted to pre-plan an insurrection, Wouldn't people be armed? Wouldn't people come ready and prepared? This is the most disorganized insurrection I've ever seen in my life. There's people who were Trump supporters. There are people who weren't Trump supporters. There's people who were Black Lives Matter supporters. One of the guys got arrested. The black kid that was there when Abbott got shot, he was arrested. He was a Black Lives Matter supporter. He was right at the door when I said Governor Abbott. Let me slow down. When the young lady Babbitt was shot, that Black Lives Matter guy was right there at the front door. It's on video camera. And he got arrested at the scene. So there was people represented from Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Trump supporters, and people who weren't Trump supporters. But then they blame everything on Donald Trump. What coordinated effort did they have? What's the coordinated effort? None. They just went in the, they start running, wandering around like lost dogs. Many of them not even knowing where to go. Some of them posted up in the halls of Congress and sat in the chair. One of them sat at Nancy Pelosi's seat. What coordinated effort did they do? What strategic plan was had that they executed what? They did a pushing match with police at the front door. I would say it's more than a pushing match. It was slightly violent. Nobody suffered serious injury or death when you look at the police side. There were some Trump supporters that had heart attacks and other things that probably was caused by the police response. And then a lot of people were just let in the door. They just let them in. We got the video. They just let them in the door. Let them in the back door. Homeboy is leading them up the stairs. Nobody tried to attack him. Nobody had a weapon. Capitol Police was standing there in front of the door where Ashley Babbitt was shot, and they were standing there. They didn't even pull their guns out. They didn't even feel like anybody there was a threat enough to pull a gun out. And then at one point, they moved away from the door. They just moved out the way. And that's when Ashley Babbitt began to, the window was knocked out, and Ashley Babbitt began to climb up through the window. When Capitol Police, who were standing right there in front of her, moved out of the way. You know, you're not going to convince me of anything else but the fact it's a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt. They are trying to go after Donald Trump. They're trying to go after Republicans. There's going to be no resolution to this problem. There's going to be no resolution to January 6th. It's to demonize and weaponize something that happened in our country against Republicans so they can lose in the midterms. They should have had this hearing last year. Why didn't they have the hearing next year? They wanted to have it during the midterms. Said 20 seconds. They wanted to have it during the midterms. It's clear as the noonday sun. Call in 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'll get to you after the break.
Making a difference in this culture war. The Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can or will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to the presence of an attorney to assist you prior to questioning and be with you during questioning if you so desire. If you cannot afford an attorney, you have a right to have an attorney afforded to you prior to questioning. Do you understand your rights?
Hoo-ah.
And that you understand your rights. Can I talk to you? You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I got some callers calling in. Chet from Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Chet, my man, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Oh, okay, go ahead.
You betcha. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get to the why I called, I got to tell you, you got to get off the fence and tell us how you really feel about the January 6th incursion. But the reason I called was when you were talking about the Uvalde police response, I turned off the radio for a second and read something, an article I don't know if I'm allowed to name names of where I got the article from or the officer's name, but it did mention the officer's name who talked to his wife. She told him there was kids in there being shot right before she died. And I would never even played a police officer on TV, but I was a combat controller in the Air Force. And I'm still trying to figure out why the person in charge of this did not have a police-issued radio, and he was making phone calls on the police station landline with his phone. I don't know of any commander in charge of any hostile situation that would be directing troops without a radio. It just doesn't happen. So that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Chet, and I can speak to that. Let me speak to that real quick. I don't know what he was thinking. However, his explanation, whether true or false, his explanation is that as soon as he showed up to the scene, he thought he was the only officer there, and he didn't want to carry that radio around and end up getting in a shooting. He couldn't use both hands on his gun to get into what he believed was going to be a life and death situation, and that was going to be the end. So based on his explanation, I can see how that's plausible. I don't think it's the right decision to make, but then again, I don't know what his radio is. I don't know what setup he got. A radio would never have interfered on anything that I would have done on the police department at all. But at the same time, I can't really judge it unless I see exactly what happened. I think there's going to be a video released at some point where somebody saw him throw his radio down and get into the fight.
The other part I want to make on this too is, he had just completed active shooter training a week before, and the article went on to say that all the police departments, the first primary thing you are taught is to engage that shooter as soon as you have, you know, as soon as you get there. Do not allow him to continue shooting at anything. And
right. Chet, only got 30 seconds. Hold on the phone. I got to close this out. According to all the information that I've gotten, they engaged with the shooter initially. Several officers were shot, and then they retreated. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet. He's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me see your license and registration, please. I got a special guest coming on, one of the men that I admire greatly, a man that wears the badge proudly, stands up for police officers on every single day that he wakes up and shows up to work. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Sheriff, I knew that I was going to mess up when I say Villanueva at least once, and I've rehearsed it 100 times to make sure I had my accent right. But thank you so much for coming on the show. In 2018, you spanked the incumbent and got over 50% of the vote, if I'm not mistaken, as the L.A. County Sheriff. I want to talk to you about a few things here. I have no idea what the runoff actually means. So you are going to face another individual in a runoff for the county sheriff, LA County Sheriff's position. Can you walk us through what that actually means?
Well, to win the office of sheriff, you have to win the majority of the votes. So if you win 50% plus one votes in the primary, well, then you win it outright. If you don't, if no one gets that, crosses that 50% threshold, is a runoff race, and that one happens in November. And then the top two vote getters go to the runoff, and then whoever takes it all there, well, then becomes a sheriff.
Okay, awesome. That's good to know, because I was wondering. I said, hey, man, you got more votes than these other individuals. How in the world are you not, you know, already running home with the victory? But it does seem like you are the favorite. You know, when I watch you on television, you always speaking the truth. You stand up for law enforcement officers on a day-to-day basis, and I appreciate that. I mean, you've had over 34 years of service in policing. What have you seen as been the biggest problem with retention, the biggest problem in law enforcement in L.A. County? As far as, you know, the liberals are beating us up every single day. They want to dismantle the police departments around the country. But what are you seeing as the biggest problem, and what's the solution to that problem?
I think the biggest problem we're facing is, I guess it's a three-pronged problem, the Board of Supervisors and politicians in general here in L.A. It's about defunding law enforcement, defaming the profession, and defanging the operation so we can't do our job. They're doing all three Ds at the same time, and over time, that takes its toll on their ability to attract young kids to the profession and our ability on the streets to actually have a positive impact, you know, catch the crooks, put them away, and keep the community safe. It gets harder and harder when the supervisors are trying to tell the public, do not trust law enforcement. Well, that's not a good idea.
Have you noticed, Sheriff, that that's caused a lot more violence against law enforcement?
Yes, and by all means. If you tell, remember, to make an unlawful arrest, either the person has to submit willfully to your to be detained, or you have to physically arrest them. And if you're a politician telling people don't trust law enforcement, well, some of them are going to say, well, I'm not going to allow myself to be handcuffed, or I'm going to object to an arrest or a detention. And some of those turn to violence. So, yeah, they're actually making it a lot harder for those cops on the street to just do their job.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the L.A. County Sheriff, Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Sheriff, what's the solution to the problem? How do we fix this? Like, what can you do in your position once you win in November? What can you do in your position to help curb this issue and fix law enforcement in at least California? Is there a path to success in this?
I think there is. I think once we get a sanity restored to the Board of Supervisors, and you get a majority that is actually pro-law and order, pro-law enforcement, and when you're pro-law enforcement, it doesn't mean you're anti-reform, as some people are trying to paint it as an either-or. It's not. It just means that you actually honor and respect the rule of law. You support the hard work the men and women of the Sheriff's Department and all local police departments are doing, and got to hold crooks accountable when they cross the line. But that means that we can continue to reform where the reforms make sense, and everyone has a stake in the outcome. Right now, that's not happening because the elites of county government and city government have decided that only a very narrow section of the community should be involved in criminal justice reform, and they don't have to listen to anybody else. Well, it didn't work in San Francisco. It's not working in L.A. either. I think we need to come back to a spot where everyone has a say and everyone has a seat at the table.
I couldn't agree with you more. Sheriff, I have another question, and this is probably a little more personal. You know, with your 34-plus years of law enforcement experience, have you noticed or have you experienced racism within the ranks? You know, this talk about systemic racism being perpetuated on law enforcement agencies or in law enforcement agencies around the country. With your 30-something years of experience, which is my whole life, have you noticed it being a perpetual issue on police departments that you have served in?
I've never seen that played out in the decisions that arrested people are making, detentions are being made. They're because some did something dumb or something criminal, they were detained. And I don't think the cops can control who commits murder, for example. And if the people who commit murder committed in greater proportions than their representation in the community, that's out of the control of law enforcement. And that's something that needs to be addressed. So you have an overrepresentation of people of color, for example, as both victims and suspects on both sides of the coin. And that is a problem that we have to address. But as an intentional act from anybody, I'm not seeing that at all. What I have seen, though, early on in my career and throughout my career was actually within the organization, trying to get to promotions, specialized units. A lot of insider baseball, the good old boy network, and minorities, at least within the sheriff's department, were only allowed to advance and were kind of like window dressing. You didn't really see a whole lot of them up the chain of command, only at the entry level. That's kind of changed now. Now the entire organization is a reflection of the community, and that you get it. You only advance by your own merit, your hard work, and your commitment to serving the community, studying hard, passing those tests. That's how you're getting advanced within the sheriff's department. And I think that's a big change from the past. Other issues we have to grapple with in society at large that are just a lot more complicated.
I agree to that too as well. I mean, I was on a police department in a municipality for almost 7 years, and that was the same type of thing. You know, the good old boy system within the police department was something that people had a big problem with, but I have never in my life seen a person blatantly racist in their while they're conducting policing. I've never seen it. None of my years, nobody on the SWAT team, nobody on any of the special units, none of the officers who trained me in field training who had 30 plus years on the police department, none of them ever got into a situation where they acted in a racist manner. And also, I'd say this, I've seen people being racially insensitive. And when I say racially insensitive, I'm saying that there are people who didn't grow up in around a black community, or people didn't grow up in the Asian community, and they're not familiar with the cultural differences. And I've seen that play out in policing, but never someone being racist. I have a caller calling in. I'm gonna save the time, but I'm just gonna read the question that they had. I'm assuming that this is a reasonable question. They wanted me to ask you, what is the chain of command for policing? I'm assuming that they're asking, what is the rank structure from deputy all the way up to you being the sheriff?
Okay, well, we have, let me go from my position down. It'll make more sense. I'm the sheriff of the county. I'm elected. And then there's an undersheriff, and he is appointed by me. And then we have, from there, we have three assistant sheriffs. Then we have 12 division chiefs. Then we have 27 commanders, 67 captains, about 380 lieutenants, roughly 1,000 sergeants, and then about 8,000 deputies. That's more or less what the rank structure looks like and the number of people.
Well, Sheriff, I'm running out of time. I really want people to go and follow you on social media. They can go, obviously, to lasd.org, follow you on social media, LACO Sheriff on Twitter. Thank you for coming on, Sheriff. I hope you all the best of luck in your endeavors moving forward. I hope that you get reelected and continue to do what's right for LA County.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity for being on your show, and best of luck to you.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
12-11-7, I'm being real. You listen to the Office Tatum Show. I like those little nuggets, man. Sean, you got me hooked on it, man. Those little nuggets. Filling y'all in on some police jargon. But welcome back to the Office Tatum Show. Y'all know Mike Lindell, made the MyPillow. If you don't know what Mike Lindell and MyPillow, you must be sleeping under the rock. But he made one of the best pillows that you could sleep on, probably the best. I sleep on it every single night. Me and my wife loves the pillows. But he didn't just make the pillows. He came out with the MySlipper. And for those of you who are watching online, I got the MySlipper right here. I got it on. Feel comfortable to my feet. I only wear it in the house. I try not to wear it outdoors. But right now, for a limited time only, you'll get $90 off a pair of MySlippers. This blowout sale won't last long, so you better act. It took about 2 years for Mike Lindell to make the MySlipper. The MySlippers are designed to wear indoors and out, made with MyPillow foam and also impact gel to help with feet fatigue, made with quality leather suede as well. How do you take advantage of this, Mr. Tatum? All you have to do is call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Or if you're an internet person like myself, go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square. Use promo code Brandon. Again, this offer won't last long, so you better take advantage of it now. Brandon at, or use the code Brandon at MyPillow.com. Let me get back into a few things. A caller called in. We got y'all blowing up the lines right now. I'm going to put them to work. Somebody's going to have a bicep cramp after all these callers are calling in. The number is 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. If you want to call, be a part of the conversation. Let me finish up a statement that was made by a caller in the segment before I had the sheriff on. And the statement was he didn't understand why the police chief in Uvalde left his his radio outside. Well, you know, according to the police chief's statements, it makes sense to a certain degree in a life and death situation. He claimed that the radios would be rendered useless anyway because they wouldn't have had the radios up loud in the hallway. Apparently, unlike my department, they didn't have earpieces. We had earpieces, so therefore we can have tactical conversations without the suspects or anybody hearing. The old school radios, they have to blare it as loud as possible for them to hear it from their hip. And they didn't want to give away their position. Obviously, that seems to be relatively smart strategically. He was able to communicate with Como Communications through his cell phone. It was very interesting reading, and I'm continuing to read the article that the police chief came out and made statements about, is that they pursued the guy. They had every belief system that they were going to either kill this guy or die in an immediate shootout. He left his radio behind, preparing to get into a shootout with this young man. They were unable to get through the door. They had to call for SWAT reinforcement. And I think it kind of debunks the sitting in the hallway myth. But we'll see at the end of the day when they release video footage. I got people calling in. Let me start with Betsy from Texas. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Thank you for holding.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to tell you thank you so much. You are such a bright spot. Officer Tatum, I get very despondent listening to what's going on in the world. And sometimes it really does get me very, very down. And one of the main things that got me down was listening to all these riots, these burning cities, the police department was on fire, and not a thing was done about it. And yet we have patriots that are still in jail. That kind of injustice gets me really, really down. And tuning into your show, really lifts me up. It encourages me. You speak my language. You are so right on, and you're a fellow brother in the Lord. And so I really enjoy your show. And I want to tell you, thank you.
Betsy, thank you so much for the call. You literally, you can't see me, but I am smiling from ear to ear because when people like you call in and say the things that I feel God has called me to do, it really makes me excited and happy. So, Betsy, thank you so much for the call. You're such a blessing to me today. I have to tell you, unless somebody can top that, that is my favorite call of the week. I will go out on a Friday with a smile on my face. George from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
I guess it is. It flew over here. It sure did.
How you doing, sir? Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Oh, you know, I didn't realize I heard my wife was bothering me. Sorry, I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, George, we're gonna have you hold on. We'll get back to you in a second. Just get it together over there, and we'll bring you back up on the air. Bill from Pennsylvania, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
I just want to comment on the January 6th incident. You know, you can't tell me that Trump people act like that. There had to be Antifa infiltrated into that crowd that used those battering rams. There was no need to use battering rams. The doors were open. And I guarantee you, the first time I seen that video, I said, that's Antifa.
Yeah, Bill, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, that's not think about this. Trump was in office for 4 years, and there's never been a violent protest or riot in the name of Donald Trump or any conservative movements. There's no evidence of it. Never. We've never come out and act like that. So when you see things happening like that on January 6th, you have to wonder, is it infiltrated by Antifa, Black Lives Matter? Is the CIA and the FBI involved in coercing people and getting them riled up? The kid that had the little, I don't know what kind of hat he had. He had the fur hat on. He's right here in Arizona. I've seen him at plenty of events. He's never been violent. Seems like a cool kid, very zealous. And to see him go to prison, I think he's still in prison because he was in the Capitol building and walked up and maybe sat in one of the congressional seats. And that's it. That's all he did. He didn't hurt anybody. The police officers were in there. They were just watching him and another guy. It's crazy to me at what they've done in this scenario.
Yes, I agree with you.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for the call. Let me get George in. George from California.
Hello.
You ready to go? Are you ready to go, George?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Two things I wanted to get to you real quick. One, the January 6th people, the only reason the so-called insurrection, the riot happened, was because the senators were standing up and they had what they needed to start the investigation. There was a congressman and a senator backing him, and there was two of them, there was four of them total until this thing stopped. They never came back to finish it. I don't know why. You would think they would have, but they know that this election wasn't right, and they don't want it investigated the way it needs to be investigated. 2,000 mules will blow them out the water because the police use that today to put people in prison.
100%.
You can identify your phone call somewhere, your phone, and they know who that was, and they got their phone numbers. The only reason they don't do this is because these communists are in control.
George, I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for the call. It is quite ironic to see what they're doing on this January 6th thing. They admitted that Vice President Pence asked for reinforcement. They claim Trump didn't ask for it. I don't care who asked for it. Why didn't they reinforce the Capitol building knowing that the most racist president in United States history is causing people to go into the Capitol, according to them? These people are stupider than three left shoes on a six-legged man. You listen to the Alex Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. I was ranting about how in the world does anybody believe that the election in 2020 was a fair election. 2000 Mules showed us, if you ain't seen it, you need to go look at it, that they were cheating their butts off. And we know they were cheating their butts off. And 2000 Mules only represented a few major cities. That's not including the entire country. It's just crazy to me how people are so gullible. And you know what happens is people ain't ready to fight. I've learned that. People don't want to fight. They don't want to argue. They don't want to not be able to go to dinner. They don't want to stand up and have an opinion about something. They're afraid of getting canceled. They're afraid of people hurting their feelings. And some people I don't blame. You ain't about that life. Just go sit down somewhere. Some people are afraid to say that they stole the election because you don't want to be an oddball. Man, ain't no way in the world Joe Biden won. Look at him. Listen to him talk. He was on Jimmy Kimmel, sounding like he should be in a nursing home. That dude is a president. I ain't like Obama, but Obama didn't go on Jimmy Kimmel sounding like that. And y'all think he won? He ain't even campaign. He came to Arizona, him and cackling Kamala, and nobody showed up. Listen, nobody showed up. It was on the local news. No one was there. How do you run for office and no one shows up to a rally that you're having? Donald Trump has 30,000 people at every rally he goes to or more, depending on the circumstance. He got them loaded with people. I've been at least five of them. They're loaded. People can't even get in. And you telling me Joe Biden got the most votes out of any president in United States history? You got to be smoking. You got to be smoking crack. Let me give you a quick indicator, and I'm gonna get to the callers. I told you guys I'll get to you. I'm gonna be a man of my word. Let me get to one quick article by Daily Wire. CNN ratings collapse. Fox News dominates again. CNN now is down to just over 500,000 average primetime viewers. Now, that still sounds like a lot, but let's compare it to Fox News. Let me give you a more accurate number. CNN averages about 517,000 total views across its primetime programs. Fox News, what they call the right-leaning competitors, brought in nearly five times CNN numbers, averaging 2.5 million viewers across primetime. And y'all already know that Tucker Carlson is the one that's killing it. He got 3.14 million total views himself, and then Chris Hayes – Chris Hayes landed second place with 1.2 million. But when you look at the totality of what's going on, you say the Democrats suck. Joe Biden's ratings are the worst that I've ever seen. And CNN is not getting any traction. To me, and you look at any polling, Democrats are doing horrible. to me, this should be a clear indication of a landslide. Donald Trump's, everybody ratings was up when Donald Trump was in office. Fox News was blowing out CNN, but CNN still had a lot of coverage because they were talking about Trump every day. And when you say that the people, when you talk about or think of the people who are going out and putting out fake information and they are not getting a lot of traction, to me, that's an indication that we're doing something right. Liberal MSNBC, they beat up on CNN too, and they averaged 1.8 million. They're still far beneath where Fox News is at. We should see a landslide, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get to my callers. I believe it's Sharon from South Carolina. Welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Hi there.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi. I'm 75 years old, and a lot of the things that we hate about our country, including the insurrection thing and the border and the way the things are going on school, has been going on since before I was old enough to remember anything. And there's a book that was published in 1995. It's a true life story of a woman who was brainwashed by our government, and it has an index that names almost everybody in the swamp. Trump's name wasn't in there because he wasn't a swamp player. But there are so many people that I have voted for in the past that are named in that book that breaks my heart. And the drugs, dealing drugs and everything. But it's called Transformation of America. And
Sharon,
people will be shocked.
Sharon, thank you so much for the call. Y'all heard it. Transformation of America. I'm going to check that book out. It's probably on Amazon or something, so I'm going to check it out. I like to read it because I want to get more knowledge. You know, I'm a youngster. You know, I'm only in my early 30s, and I've only been in politics since, like, 2017. So there's a lot to be learned, a lot for me to learn, and I'm open to figuring out what's going on because you don't have to be in it long enough to know that some of these people are shady or then, you know what, they're super shady. Charlie from Funky Town, Fort Worth. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Thanks for taking my call, sir. Let me tell you, there's only one way to put this. You have been chosen to get the truth out there. Your microphone
could
save a lot of people, Officer Tatum, and get us back on the rails. I knew the truth had come out about that shooting down there at the school. I just knew you'd get the truth out there. And thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Charlie. Thank you so much calling in from my hometown, Fort Worth, Texas. You know, I let me just give you guys some insight just a little bit, because some people probably wonder. I don't believe I've been ever wrong about any police situation that I've ever spoken about. And the reason why is not because I'm some genius and I just have some spiritual anointing to be correct when nobody else can be. It's just that I wait and I get the information and I have experience and expertise in that subject matter, and I'm able to convey truth to the public in ways in which people may not understand because they've never been a police officer. And the thing in Uvalde, you know, I'm glad I stood up to the bullies, man. You guys have to understand, and I'm not saying that all the information is out there, but there's overwhelming information to that people should be able to realize that the initial statement was a complete lie, and none of what they said actually happened. And people bullied me, man. People unfollowed me. People said, Brandon, I am ashamed of you for you standing up for those police officers. Brandon, you are wrong. Go look at my videos on YouTube. Brandon, you are wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Those officers should go to jail. They suck. They've been there for 40 minutes and let kids die as they're getting mowed down. And they did nothing. Parents were going in and saving the kids and the cops were doing nothing. It bothered me so bad to see people being so ignorant. And now that more information is coming out, you realize that there's a lot more to it. The police chief was in the action. He wasn't sitting back calling shots. He was trying to open the doors. They were using keys. None of the keys worked. They were actively doing something the whole time. Unfortunately, it took way too long. But if you don't understand policing, you will never know this stuff. It's not the movies, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the movies. We just saw out there in Maryland, there was a shooting at a warehouse, and the cops got there. People were already dead. The cops are not sitting out front of your house waiting for a shooting to occur. And it takes them a little bit to respond. And in this situation, the guy went on a massacre. Now, I'm not trying to absolve the chief of a, you know, I think he may have made mistakes in hindsight. But my God, when you there at the scene, why'd he throw his radio down? Man, that man was thinking about, I'm going to die. I'm going to kill him or he's going to kill me in an instant. I'm going to live or die right here. Threw his radio down. He couldn't use it in the hallways anyway because you don't want the killer to know exactly where you're at, because then he start busting at you. That man may have thought, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Why shouldn't I? He may have thought, this is it for me. I'm going to do a tactical dump of this radio because this is about to be it. I'm going to kill or be killed in this instance, in this moment. But, you know, a lot of people came out against me. Still probably don't agree with me. It's fine. I knew they weren't just sitting in that hallway. I've been in policing long enough to know that you can't find that many cops that are afraid. And then they're mad at you because the cops are trigger happy and all this. And then you say they're afraid. You know, it's just, they really don't like police like they say they do. There's a difference between liking police and supporting police. There's a big difference. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
12-11-7. I got one detained. Another suspect running southbound. Black shirt, blue jeans. Biracial male. Neat unit set of quads. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. It's the last segment, man. I'm about to go home. Hey, y'all ready to go home? Y'all probably already at home. I'm about to go home. I got like 5 minutes left, but I want to finish it strong. I got a couple clips because Jim Jordan, you know, I don't know if they actually doing nothing, but they sound good. Jim Jordan has been standing up for truth for a very long time, in my personal opinion. And I love it when I hear him say things that resonate with the American people. I just wish that actions would follow what some of these Republicans are saying. Roll clip two.
We certainly didn't get those answers because Nancy Pelosi refuses to answer any questions or let the sergeant at arms testify who was there, you know, that at that time. I think Ms. Stefanik and Mr. Banks are right. This was a partisan production put on by the former head of ABC News. I don't think we learned anything new. I mean, for goodness sake, they had a Democrat staffer giving a timeline on video. And if a Republican staffer were in a committee and we put them on video and let them talk for a sustained period of time, can you imagine what the press would say? So yes. I think the country sees it for what it is. It's a partisan political committee that the American people are focused on a whole lot of other issues. There is
clip three. Give me clip three.
For a committee that meets on Capitol Hill where there's not an opportunity for cross-examination. The majority party gets more members on a committee, they get more witnesses, but the minority party always gets a chance to bring in a witness or cross-examine the witnesses that the majority brings in, except in this committee. This is worse than what Adam Schiff did with the 2019 impeachment in the bunker in the basement of the Capitol, because at least we got to be in the room and depose the witnesses, and then when they had hearings, at least we got to cross-examine the witnesses. That's not happening here, and it is just a production selectively pulling out information that we get no chance to see, presenting that to the American people in a completely partisan fashion. And again, you just went through how bad the inflation is, 41-year wow. high inflation. I think the American people kind of care about what's in their paycheck and what they can buy with their paycheck. But instead, we get this primetime focus.
Jim Jordan, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love what he's saying, because I like that the Democrats are doing this, to be honest. I think they're out of touch. I ain't worrying about no January 6th when your gas is out of control. Ain't January 6th ain't helping you buy that chicken. That chicken gonna be $14. And January 6th ain't gonna mean a doggone thing to nobody in America. You lost your job because of the pandemic, but January 6th. These politicians have to be smoking crack. And they think you're going to fall for it. I'm actually glad they're doing it because they're going to win big. They're going to lose big time in the midterms. But you listen to the Offset Tatum Show. Listen, it's the weekend. I'm gone, baby. I'll see y'all next week. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested and you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.